My name is Carletta. I am a compulsive eater, and I'm glad you're all here. I've been in CHOW since 2002, and one of the things I love most about CHOW is that we are held accountable for actually studying all the 12 steps. And I have been grateful to have gone through all of the 12 steps more than once and keep going through them more than once. And one of the times that I read sixth step, I was struck by something, and that was sort of the impetus for wanting to have a workshop about it. Before I start, I was asked to say that there is a release here, so if we have a time where you speak aloud, then you'll have to sign the release to let this be on the recording, because I understand this is being recorded, okay? Also, because I have a little exercise to do, I'm going to turn off the recording during the time of the exercise and then turn it back on. So if you talk during that time, it won't be picked up on the recording and we won't have to sign a release, okay? I was also asked to start with the Serenity Prayer, so if you'll join me. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. So I'm going to start off by reading the first paragraph of the sixth step and then just explaining what struck me so much about it. So the sixth step is we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. This is a step that separates the men from the boys. So declares a well-loved clergyman who happens to be one of AA's greatest friends. He goes on to explain that any person capable of enough willingness and honesty to try repeatedly step six on all his faults without any reservations whatever has indeed come a long way spiritually and is therefore entitled to be called a man who is sincerely trying to grow in the image and likeness of his own creator. So for me, when I took out the gendered language, what I got out of this was growing up is an invitation in step six, and growing up is a journey, and that the essential equipment for the journey is willingness and honesty. And it also defines what a grown-up is in this first paragraph of the sixth step. So a grown-up is one who is sincerely trying to grow in the image and likeness of his or her creator. A grown-up tries repeatedly without reservation to apply step six to all the faults. So that really struck me, because when I first went through the 12 steps, I got to the sixth step, and the sixth step basically said, am I ready to have higher power to remove my character defects? A no-brainer. Yes, click, go to the next one. So this one had me slow down and really think about, this is a question that's saying, Carletta, do you want to grow up, right? And I'm already well into my adulthood when I come into program. I'm going, like, what does that even mean? I'm grown. So here's that whole framing that says, yes, you are chronologically grown, but in terms of development, you probably have what we learned about in those first steps. You probably have arrested development. You probably are using ways to deal with life that are really fundamental and basic and not necessarily spiritually founded. Not the ones that are going to work best for you in life. So with that attention-grabbing thought, I move forward on this step. So what I came to love about step six is its profound acknowledgement that the human brain needs a process to grow up, and this step gives us a process. So I've heard many times, and I'm sure everybody in this room has heard too, is that our program, the literature, the big book, and the 12 and 12 are divinely inspired. So the idea that a whole step is put in so that I can really reflect on whether or not I'm really ready to grow up. So that would suggest there may be some good reasons that I don't want to grow up, right? So it's as an actual step. Now, we know that this was written back in the late 30s and the 40s, and it took another 15 years for modern science to catch up to what's already put in our program. So now we have CAT scans and MRIs, and what they show is that in the human brain, our brain cells to brain cells are wired for us to have habitual tracks, and we're wired that way. Bill W. didn't know that. But still, what was planned in our program of recovery is a step that now modern science catches up to and said, yeah, that's right, you need a step for that. I love that. So in that context, what we get to learn is there's something more than coming to a step, having the question asked, are you entirely ready? What does becoming ready really mean? What are the reservations about being ready? And what I'd like to do now at this point is turn off the tape and have us do an exercise. I'm going to explain the exercise because I don't have any handouts, and whoever is going to be listening to this on the audio version is going to need to know what we're doing on the exercise. So what I have here are pens and paper, and what we're going to do is we're going to take a piece of paper and we're just going to fold it into quarters, okay? And then I'm going to describe what we're going to write on each of those sections. And the whole point of this exercise is to get a better feel for what are those really good reasons for not wanting to grow up at all. So I'm going to have the paper be passed out and pens for anybody who needs it. And I think it works a little bit if you don't have some hardback, something to write on, to just fold it in quarters and then fill each one out as a quarter. And I'm going to describe, for those who are listening on the tape, what we're going to put on the piece of paper. So we're going to fold it in half, and then we're going to fold it in half again. So we're going to have two rectangles on the top. So what's going to go in the two rectangles on the top is the first one is going to be the benefits of eating the See How way. And what's going to go to the top right rectangle is the benefits of eating whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want. So the whatever I want way on the top. I will. I'm going to say it lots of times. Right now I'm just going to say it one time for the tape, and then I'm going to turn it off. And then in the lower sections, the first one, we're going to write the challenges of eating the See How way, and in the remaining one, we're going to write the challenges with eating the whatever I want way. So now I'm going to turn this off. Click. Okay, so we're going to stop. And what I'd like us to do now is to pair up. Those of you who came late and you didn't hear the instructions, I'm going to have you come join me here, and we'll go over it together. But for those of you who are here and you heard the instructions and you worked on the assignment, what I'd like you to do is come together in twos or threes and share. Share absolutely everything that you wrote down on your sheet, okay? All right, so let's look at the kind of answers that came up in the room. The logistics for this one are that we have one microphone that's fixed. It's not one that we could pass around, which is what I would prefer to do. But so what I'm going to have you do when you get that urge to shout out what's on your list, if I can hear it, I'll repeat it. But if I can't hear it, I'm going to ask you to go to the microphone, okay? So I did go to one group while I was making sure that everybody had enough time to discuss it, because that's a really important part. That's what we do in the fifth step, right? We discuss it. We share it with others. So here are some of the things that I heard associated with the benefits of eating the See How way. One is I become freed up from my compulsive thinking. I can start thinking about other things. Another one is I start to get clarity of mind. Another one is my health issues get better. Another is I'm more physically active. And another is I get more stability in my life. So I'd like to hear the others that came up in the room, if you'll just shout them out. It takes away guilt to eat the See How way. How many times did we wake up and say, oh man, I wish I hadn't eaten like that? we meet new people, right? In the program, we meet a lot of like-minded folk. And that feeling of, I'm home, I'm with my people. Yeah? All right, other shout-outs? A sense of discipline. I bet you that one can go on some of the drawback lists too, right? I don't want any discipline. What is that? but yeah, it gives you a sense. I've heard it in another group, structure, something that puts limits on it. Because left on my own devices, I have no capacity for limits. Okay? Yes?
Full participation in life.
Full participation in life, right? So I'm not just wanting to go home, close the blinds and the doors, and eat my brains out because I can't deal with life. I can say, okay, well, I don't know how to deal with life, but this program is teaching me how to do that, and I can go out and participate instead of staying home eating. Yep, great, yes.
I can wear the same clothes for a long time.
I can wear the same clothes for a long time, right? Exactly. I laugh about that even now because I had a closet with all these sizes, and I would never get rid of all these sizes because I diet and go to some, and then I go back up. And now today, I have a closet with all the same size. So, yeah. What are the other ones? I can wear my clothes until they fall apart instead of just having to get bigger and bigger ones. Are there any others that somebody wants to shout out? Yes.
Takes away compulsive behavior.
Takes away compulsive behavior. Yeah. Allows you to surrender, and that's a benefit. What you mentioned is really significant because what I discovered when I was looking at this and thinking about my journey and see how, some of the benefits are things that would have never occurred to me. They weren't even things I even wanted. They weren't on my radar, right? So some of the things was having a closer relationship with a higher power. I wasn't looking for that when I came here. I was fat. I wanted to lose weight, right? So learning that the values are sometimes things that I wasn't even considering is really significantly a part of this journey. And it's a significant part of the sixth step. And so I know we have all heard from time to time, more will be revealed. So we have whatever reasons that we came and that we see as benefits, but if we stay, the list will get even longer because more will be revealed. And that's one of the reasons we say, don't leave before the miracle happens. You don't have it all yet. Just stay. It's coming. Okay, great. So let's go to the next one. The next one are the benefits of eating whatever I want, however I want. Shout outs. Woo! Get to have more of everything. Yep. What else? Don't need that pesky food plan. What I heard in one of the groups was, I get to be spontaneous about how I eat. Right? Yeah. I can eat whenever I want. If I want to get up in the middle of the night, I can do that. Yes. Easy access to whatever I want. Mm-hmm. Yep. I get a break from my stress. Exactly. I still remember to this day when I was out with my family. It was a stressful day. We were on vacation. I was having that much stress on vacation. And I was stuffing my face with something. And I said to my sister, if you had the life and the stress that I had in your life that I have in mine, you would eat the way I eat too. So don't even say anything to me. Right? All defiant about it. Yes, a relief from stress. Easier to eat out because they could pick a restaurant that may not have abstinent food. And then what do I do, right? Absolutely. Yes?
I don't need to feel anything.
I can just kind of numb out. Yep. Others? Yep.
Food high.
Yep. There is that. There's all that concentrated sugar and all the modern neuroscience says that that is really real. It is equivalent to cocaine when they look at it in terms of all those modern CAT scans and MRIs and those things. Food high is real. There was a time when it wasn't accepted in the scientific and medical community And now that's gone. It's accepted. It's real. Boot high. Yes. No acknowledged accountability, right? Nobody's going to tell me. I can do what I want. Yes. And there was a hand up behind you? Is there something nice about being insane, right? You just get to go off and tell people, blah, 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 right? So there's that kind of self-righteous feel good that can come off, right? And now if we do that, we have to make amends. So, yeah, yes. Get to take our will back, exactly. There's some huge advantage. Don't have me go there. I took my will back recently, and I'm still paying for it. But yes, we get to do that. Others. All right. Let's go to the next one, which are the challenges associated with eating the Sihau way. No, that's what we just did. No, yeah. Okay. What are the challenges associated with eating the Sihau way? This is basically why I don't want to do it. Some of them are similar to the things we already said, but sometimes there is something absolutely different and significant about it. So what are some of the reasons we don't want to do it? Right. I have to prepare. I have to write it down. And I have to call my sponsor and commit it. Now that's work. That's right. Oh. What she said was no more drive-thrus, right? So we may have to say goodbye to a few old friend habits. Mm-hmm. And drive-thrus were great, weren't they? Because they say, oh, she wants this and she wants that and he wants that and it's all for me. Yes. What if something changes and you've already committed your food to your sponsor? What now? Yeah, we don't get to be as spontaneous as before. Yep, that's real. Eating out in general can be way more challenging. Yep. Asking for special requests can take some courage, right? And all that. Yeah. And what about going to potlucks? It what?
The stigma of
having other people focus on us as we do what we do and weigh and measure. Having even people say, why do you eat like that? Yeah. Yeah. And another one is turning down love. My grandmother loved through giving food. And I had to turn down that way of love. Right? I know she loved me. She knew I loved her. But we had to change because we couldn't have that particular way of expressing love.
Feeling self-conscious
about this whole thing. Yeah.
Feeling like you're hurting
someone's feelings. Hurting other people's feelings, right? And I know for me, one of my fears was fear of deprivation, that I was just going to walk around deprived all the time. Particularly in my culture, there's some foods that are cultural. There's some celebrations and all those things. And you know, I was worried about having grief, about losing that, losing part of me, losing something that was a strength or an asset for me. Yeah, all those things. Others? Okay. What about the challenges associated with eating whatever I want? What are those drawbacks? You get fat, right? Health problems, yep. It's easy to overdo it. Feeling disgusted with ourselves emotionally, yes.
Depression.
Feeling depressed and deprived, yep, absolutely. There's never enough. The comfort or satisfaction that we get from eating that way is short-lived, right? And then we have to do more of it. Yeah, keeps us on that treadmill of more and more and more and more and more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Always thinking about the weight and what other people think about the weight on us and all those things. Yeah, exactly.
My doctor called me obese.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly. Shame. And other people, you know, still for weight, it's one of those almost still acceptable areas for people to come along and shame us. How many times have we heard people say, oh, you're such a nice person. If you'd lose weight, such a pretty face. If you'd lose weight, blah, blah, blah. You could date more if you'd lose weight. Right? All of that. We still live in a society where that's real. And the hurt part is we internalize it and believe it, right? So the reason these are four different ways of looking at it, it sets us up for the idea of becoming entirely ready, because these things are real. And if we don't have a substitute for the benefits of the eating the way we're eating, we're going to go back to eating that way. If we don't have something better, we're going to go back to eating that way. These are real. They're not fake. They're not just an exercise on a paper. They're real. So that's what our program tells us, is that if you stick in there long enough, you're going to get the brain changes that science says now comes when you put the substance down. You're going to get those brain changes. And that's the good news, because, you know, my sponsor told me years ago, if we had to white knuckle this for the rest of our lives, who would have the strength and fortitude to do that, right? So that's the... So it doesn't show up on me because my skin is brown, but if your skin is not and you make a tight fist, your knuckles become a little bit whiter compared to the rest of your skin. So that's white knuckling. It's that intensity of, oh my God, I'm hanging in there by the every bit of my being. So if we had to do that every day for the rest of our lives, that would be tough. So one of the benefits of continuous abstinence, no sugar, flour, or quantity, is that we are literally rewiring our brain. We're letting those brain cells to brain cells that drive us to more of it for the high, we're letting them dry up and atrophy. And we're letting the ones that want to take us to healthier eating get stronger and better. And what we know from our experience is that it works, and that's why we share our stories. That's why we read all those stories in the big book, because we know it works. It's an experiential service that we've had that it absolutely works. And now science says it works because literally something's happening in the brain. But even before we knew that, our overwhelming experience is that it works. And so my sponsor is very fond of saying, it's worth it no matter what to keep the abstinence, because then you get a chance for having a freedom from the food and not having to come back and go through that whole cycle again and again and again. So that's the beauty of the sixth step. So how many people have heard that term, King Baby? In the rooms. King Baby. King Baby. Nope. How many have heard the term arrested development? Yeah, exactly. So here's, once again, for me, I get excited about this, where our 12-step program matches what modern science is finally figuring out. And one of the things is that when we're born, we are capable of dealing with life problems and stressors in a very minimal number of ways. And it's called flight, and freeze. That's all we got. And if we don't develop something else, we have arrested development, because that's all we got, are those three. And so our 12-step program says, we are going to teach you to deal with life on life's terms, using spiritual principles, spiritual values, and spiritual practices. And our program says they are way better than the three F's that you're born with. Way better. So you just got to hang in there and keep on practicing until you get them integrated into your life. So When we look at this list, the challenges associated with eating the see how way, all the why I don't want to do it ways, they really fall into that category of King Baby. And King Baby comes from the writer who wrote our question about spirituality and defiance that we get on the 30th day. For anybody who hasn't done that, it's coming. And it's the idea that we are like babies, but we're like babies who are kings. I need it my way. I can't handle it if it's not my way. My way, my way, my way. Do it my way. Help me my way, my way. That's arrested development. And that's what we get, what we're born with. And then we have to grow up into something much more functional than that. And that's what step six says. It says, are you ready to grow up? But if we haven't really considered the advantages of not growing up, we can't really say we're ready to grow up. And that's what I did when I went through the first time. I just went, yeah, of course I am. Click. But here's that way that our program built a whole step that said, let's really contemplate what it means to get fully ready to grow up. So that one really lands into the way of the King Baby. My way, my way, my way. And as somebody already pointed out, the two at the top, the benefits of eating the see how way versus the benefits of eating whatever we want. Whatever we want gives us short-term gains, right? We get that feel good right now, but we lose out on the long-term gains. And sometimes the long-term gains, we don't even know about them yet. We have to stick around for a while to really get to learn what they are. So short-term versus long-term. And we get to learn and discover that long-term is better than short-term. But that takes a while because we're used to that quick fix short-term. We have brain tracks that are really connected to that quick fix short-term. So that was the beauty of doing this exercise so that we can really look at it in a deeper way. And that's the beauty for me of see how. I would love for others. Oh, let me restate the question because it didn't get picked up on the recording. That's ironic because if you can't hang through the short term, how can you get to the long term? And that's a critical question. And that's one of the reasons we have a slogan that says, don't leave before the miracle happens. And we do see lots of people who leave because they're so overwhelmed by not having a replacement that the short term is actually serving as a need. So in our brains, compulsive eating is not a problem. In our brains, compulsive eating is a solution. And we need a better solution if we're going to give up compulsive eating. That's exactly right. Very astute. So what I wanted to do now is go over the rest of the sixth step. That exercise was just for the first paragraph of the sixth step, right? So that's why I got all excited about the sixth step. But the next two paragraphs tell us that higher power can and will lift the obsession to compulsive eating as long as I'm willing to clean house and ask higher power to give me release. So that's what we were talking about. This white knuckling would be too hard to go through for our lives. But we're going to get a lift of the obsession, and all we have to do is two things. One is clean house and ask for release. So cleaning house, part of it is this exercise where we look at it deeply and profoundly. And sometimes we have blind spots. We don't even know that we're getting short-term quick fixes and benefits. But the fourth and fifth step really helps us clarify what those blind spots are. So the other part is the next three paragraphs, we get to experience release from compulsive eating early on if we apply the See How program as written. So that's one of the things that I've heard talked about here so far is if we can't get through the stressors of every day, how are we going to get to the long term? But if we weigh and measure and abstain from sugar and flour, we're going to get some literal brain healing that will allow us to develop the skills for the next part for the long term to grow up. So the next few paragraphs, it says that what about relief from all the rest of the problems areas that stand in our way of growing up? And then it says that our compulsive eating disease has reached a critical level and brought us to our knees. And so it's relatively easy to convince us to ask higher power for help with our compulsive eating because it's gotten so critical. And it's so hard to stay in denial at that point. It was way too glaring. It's sort of like hitting your head against a wall. And if you're bleeding and just in serious pain, and somebody says, "Doesn't that hurt?" It's pretty hard to say, "No, that doesn't hurt. I'm going to keep doing it," right? So it says our critical level of disease took us to our knees so that when we are asked the question, "Doesn't that hurt?" it's pretty hard to be in denial, and we're willing to do something different. So for me, another beauty of the sixth step is, again, it's so aligned with how the brain works, because what we're likely to say, just because we have a human brain, we're likely to say, "Yeah, but," to everything else. "Yeah, but. Yeah, it hurts, but I don't know anything else to do." So the next few paragraphs answers the "yeah, buts," and it answers it like this. It says, "Instincts are good, and they're given by higher power, and they hurt us when we don't use them as they are intended, when we use them out of balance." And that is what we find that we're doing when we're using food to do all these other things that food wasn't intended to do. That's instinct out of balance. We have an instinct to eat. We have to eat. But it's out of balance when we use it to do all these other things. So what our sixth step in the 12 and 12 does at this point is it tells us that when something's so critical, it's likely to get our attention and we're likely to make some changes. But the problem is some of the other character defects or places where we have challenges, they're more subtle than that. And then we're going to go with our "yeah, buts." And I'm, in the interest of time, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time going over everything that's in the 12 and 12 about that. But if we remembered from the big book and the way that they put up the character defect questions with the four columns, and it looks at four different instincts that are God-given and they're natural. One is the instinct to live, just to stay alive. One is the instinct to reproduce, have sex. One is the instinct to feel safe or secure. And another is the instinct to be in our social relations, particularly in terms of having a place in society. So it lists the ones that are really extreme, because the extreme ones are going to get our attention. So what it lists are, none of us want to eat so much that that kind of gluttony ruins our health. Well, scratch that for me, because I was there. But it says, in general, our instinct to live is so strong, we're not going to overwhelm our instinct to live by eating so much that we ruin our health. Well, some of us hit our health against the wall that much before we had something. For me, it was becoming a pre-diabetic, something that says, okay, maybe you want to try something else. And the other one that I put in the column is we have to use some of our energy and life to work so that we live. And so this one is sloth. So we all have times where we need rest or recreation, but the 12 and 12 lists sloth as one of those against our instinct to live well. And some of us can get into places of paralyzing sloth, that we just don't do anything, right? You go home, you eat, and do nothing until you absolutely have to get up and go to work, and then you go to work. And then you come back, and you do more paralyzing sloth. So that's an extreme. So under the second one for reproducing and sex, the extreme is nobody wants to be lustful enough to rape. There's an extreme. Under security and safety, no one wants to be so extreme with their greed that they're labeled a thief. Under social relations, no one wants to be so extreme that they're labeled and scorned as a braggart. No one wants to be so angry that they're going to murder. No one wants to be so envious to the point of having chronic pain. So here's all these examples in our 12 and 12 of extremes of character defects or arrested development. These are solutions to problems in our mind, but they're solutions that are immature. They're solutions that are based on fight, flight, and freeze. What's fight? fight is all the times that I am angry and I'm going to do this no matter what. Flight is escape. I'm going to go home and eat my brains out so I can escape the pains of my reality. And freeze is that kind of denial, that kind of paralyzing denial that puts me in paralysis and I'm not going to do anything. I'm like the deer in the headlights. I'm just going to eat because I don't know anything else to do. Those are innate. We're born with those. And they're instincts to keep us alive. Basically, they're keep us from eating, being eaten by a saber-toothed tiger. So we have some quick, immediate responses. But in our modern worlds, we're not in jeopardy of being eaten by a tiger. We're more in jeopardy of eating ourselves to death. So how do we get into more balance? So the less extreme examples that are in this chapter of the 12 and 12 is some of us take our comfort in the food. So maybe we don't eat till we ruin our health, but we take our comfort in the food. And maybe we delay sloth until retirement, or we just procrastinate, which this book calls sloth in five syllables. Under reproduction and sex, it says some of us, not so extreme, but we hide dark lust under words of love. Or we have dreams of romance, but they're hiding imaginary sex excursions. Under greed, we have greed that gets masqueraded as ambition. Or, and then all the ones for social, because the ones that get us in the most trouble are social relations. So here's that bullet point list in our book of the social relation issues. Feeling superior to our fellows. Enjoyment of self-righteous anger. We heard that come up in our list. Anger prompting gossip as a way of satisfying ourselves for being better than others. Which are really self-righteous proclamations. I'm better than that person, so I can gossip about them. And they call that murder by character assassination. And having the payoff from envy, here it's listed as, well, I don't have to work that hard. I can just be envious of others. Or I don't have to accept that I'm never going to be a soprano opera singer, and I'm going to go find other fulfillment. So it says that when it comes to something that's going to kill us, like the degree of our compulsive eating, we're going to get our attention and we're going to be willing to apply the sixth step. We're going to be willing to have that removed so we can live. But when it comes to the others, especially if they're more subtle, we may not be so willing to apply step six and really want to have them removed. And it comes back to, each and every one of those serves us in some way. It's a solution. And so we're going to need to have something better as a solution. So what do we learn here? We learn love, patience, trust, and tolerance. We learn to turn to a higher power. We learn to resolve our issues in ways that are calming. We learn even through our business meetings that we follow good orderly direction. And we ask for higher powers input to help us settle our arguments and our disagreements with each other. So we learn other ways. And the more those other ways become strong, then the other ones atrophy. They shrivel up and they become less appealing, first of all, but they also become less comfortable. They just don't feel as good. As I said already, I really snatched my will back in relation to my daughter recently. And I did something that I just felt I had to do as the mother bear, right? And my sponsor said, well, I don't think that's really aligned with spiritual principles if you do that. I said, I don't care. I need to do that. She said, okay. And then I did that, and it didn't feel good. And I got all discombobulated, and I lost all kinds of things, and I was just off kilter for a while. So my loving sponsor said, well, how did that work for you? And I'm like, yeah, it didn't work so well, okay? But I'm going to tell you what I'm grateful about today. What I'm grateful about today is I lost my emotional sobriety. I was off kilter. I wasn't my best self. But I didn't lose my abstinence. I had enough knots in my rope of recovery that I slid down a little bit, but it didn't slip off. And my sponsor always reminds me the food is the last thing to go. And we do all this work because we're learning to have ways of solving life's problems that are better than the ways that we came to this point as. We're acknowledging that we had arrested development. For what we had, we did really great for the tools we had. But now we're learning more tools so that we can do even better. So I may have this really wonderful hammer, and a hammer is a great tool, but a hammer is not going to saw a piece of wood. I need another tool. I may saw wood with my hammer by smashing it up until it's finally the length I want it to be. Well, what kind of work is that? And what a raggedy little piece of wood that is when I'm done. And that's basically what I'm doing when I'm solving my life problems through these innate things as an arrested development mind. And now I can learn to have real saws and real tools to get it done way more efficiently and way better. So what I would suggest, we did this exercise for compulsive eating, but we can use this exercise for any other of our character traits that bother us, that keep us from being aligned with higher power. To the question that you asked, well, why would I want to give this up? It's kind of working for me. Why would I want to give it up? So we really look at what's the benefit of giving it up? What's the advantages of keeping it? And really look at it in that way. We heard at our luncheon meeting that we have a lovely way of using the 12 steps to work through any life problems as they come up. But these are those things, these are those character traits that we say are us, that we say if we give them up, we're going to be the hole in the donut, so to speak, that we don't think we can give them up. And our sixth step says, that's fine. You don't have to give them up right now. But make sure you add the word yet to the end of the sentence, because more will be revealed. And eventually, as time goes by, you're going to see where it's beneficial to start moving towards giving that up and letting it go. So we still have, we don't have any time. Thank you.